Rob here from Guys Games and Beer, and man, it's been a beefing so far. Yep. They're a little bit, security's like way tighter this year, is I guess what I'm trying to say.
I'm bummed about it.
Yeah, it is. We're not allowed to bring alcohol.
I'm bummed about it.
We're not allowed to bring alcohol to the show, and they even made me put on my pants.
Yeah, so, I'm really bummed about that.
Yeah. Anyway, that's all we have to report at this time.
A lot of people.
on board with this.
I'm going on that one. So,
all right. Any other questions, thoughts, comments?
Yeah, you guys had worked on some kind of like spiritual successors or maybe actual to the King's Quest series.
Yes.
Why did you end up selling that back to Activision?
No, that is the silver lining was sort of how we all got started. Back in the early 2000s, as fans coming together, we wanted to make our own sequel to that game because it ended on King's Quest 8, which was a little unsatisfactory for most people, let's say. So that was basically our kind of learning how to make a video game because none of us had any beforehand. we worked on that for several years. We finally started releasing it in 2010 as an episodic game. And we actually went through two different cease and desist orders with that. One from Vivendi, and then one from Activision. And thankfully, both times we were able to work out to get a fan license so that it is an unofficial game, but we do have permission to release it.
Very cool. Very cool. All right, Rob, anything else?
Where most of your games are available?
Most of our games are available. You can get all of them on our store, which is at POStudios.com. And most of them are on Steam, on Google Games, and other stores.
And again, we will have links to all of that on our website.
And most are available on Windows, Mac, and Linux. Is that correct? I know some of them
I saw lots of different various platforms.
Everything is on Windows, and then most of them are on Mac. A few of our games are on Linux. Kind of varies depending on which one you're going for. And we've done a few iPad ports, the first few episodes of Cognition, and we're working on getting more iPad and Android ports out as well.
Sweet.
And working on getting some more Linux ones, too. So.
Yay, Linux! Thank you. Oh, wow.
Gold Penguin.
Wow, that was really good. All right. Well, thank you very much for your time today.
Thank you.
Guys, thanks for another episode, part of our episode, something like that.
It's a segment.
Edit it.
Yeah, like I'm gonna.
All right.
Hey, I'm Rob from Guys Games and Beer. That's
who are you?
Oh.
He's drunk.
Drunken Larry.
Are you drunk already, Larry?
No.
We don't do second takes.
Disappointing. And here's the reason why he's not drunk. Evidently, MIT's a dry campus. Who knew?
Changes.
And I'm Joe.
Back.
You sure?
Yes, I am.
Right. Give me somebody else.
We've got Matt B here.
Oh, right. I'm Jesus.
Matt, too.
Yes.
You are. Yeah.
All right.
And I'm with...
I'm Jacob Klayman, lead designer with the Dirigiballers. And we're working on a train. We're working on a game about trains with guns on them in the Wild West. It's called Tumbleweed Express, the fastest gun in the West.
And this game is genius.
First of all, nice projection. That should come through clear.
That's true. Thanks, Larry.
Did I derail it?
Real puns. They go in one ear and out the other. For me, now it is. We've been working on this game for 3 years, so...
They're really funny, though.
We've heard them all. Yeah, well, we really appreciate them.
Now, I've played this game quite a bit.
Oh, excellent.
And all the, I think everybody's seen it now.
Yeah,
I've
seen the video.
They've all liked it. We were all talking about it. So why don't you tell me how you got the idea for this game?
Okay, so our team is from Maryland. We're part of the local IGDA DC chapter. And 3 years ago, November 2011, the International Game Developers Association. Sorry. And we're with, like I said, we're with the District of Columbia local chapter. So in November 2011, the local chapter promoted a game jam for the month. They were doing these pretty regularly. And, you know, it was open to anyone in the organization. Me and some friends from University of Baltimore showed up, and we met with a bunch of guys from the IGDA. And the theme of the game jam was tram combat. And the prototype concept that we came up with was a train rolling down the tracks, and baddies come up and they shoot at you. And we just went on from that, and we prototyped Tumbleweed Express. And we, you know, over 3 years, we fleshed out the theme, the story, the narrative, all these gameplay features. And here we are today, 3 years later.
How close are you to complete now?
We want to start wrapping up in the next 6 months and move closer to completion so that we can release the game hopefully on Steam. And if we can't get on Steam through Greenlight, we're we're hoping to release on other platforms, and worst case scenario is we just self-publish on our website.
If that thing doesn't get relit, I'm going to eat my hat. I'm serious, people. Green light this one. Seriously, do it. Yeah, we're not kidding here.
Well, thank you.
Okay, so, again, very stylized game, art-wise. So, you are the lead developer. Do you have a, are you doing all your own art in-house, or are you having that drawn down?
All the work for the game is done in-house. We have a team total of about 9 people right now. But all the work gets done on a volunteer basis. The team meets up in earnest once a month for a 48-hour game jam session, and then in between each session, the team contributes, you know, as much time as they can. Everyone's got their jobs and families and lives, and we can't ask them to give more than they can, but personally, for the last 4 months, I was like, you know, we got to make this happen. So I've been programming the game for the last 4 months, and everyone's doing as much as they can to push it towards release.
Awesome, and you're using the Unity engine, right?
Yes, we're building in Unity. We're currently using Unity Free, and we have a Kickstarter running right now. And hopefully, with the proceeds from that, we'll buy commercial licenses for Autodesk software, Adobe, Unity Pro, and so on.
All that good stuff.
Kickstarter, the whole link is a string of the, but if you go on Kickstarter and you search Tumbleweed Express Steampunk, you'll be able to find it there.
Great, and we will have links on our site.
What's the date that it's open?
We launched on September 2nd, a week and a half ago, and it goes till October 2nd. We're running a 30-day campaign.
Awesome, and who did the musical score for it? One of the things that I really noticed on it was, it has got a really good musical score.
Thank you so much. Yeah, our audio is in-house as well. We have a composer named Arnaud Mose. He does all the audio for the game. He did all the music, and we have a bunch of sound effects for him as well.
Okay, awesome. Yeah. Have you heard the soundtrack?
Yeah, it's really good. It's really good.
Really quite good. Let's see, is there anything else I want to talk about? Shooting mechanics, I suppose. How hard is it? It actually has good shooter mechanics, which a lot of hybrid games do not have. It just, you don't feel like you're fighting the controls on the game.
Right.
And I really like that about it. How do you get that honed in? Because it seems to be very hard for developers to do that.
Sure. Well, okay, so my favorite part of development is showing at conventions like Festival of Indie Games, and what we do is, you know, we show our game, people play it, we shadow them, we try not to walk them through the game as much as possible, so we shadow them, we see how they play the game, what they had trouble with, we write down hundreds of notes, and then when we go back on our own, we program and we iterate and we integrate all that player feedback that we observed, and then, you know, we go right back out there to the next convention. So
you do this crazy thing called playtesting.
Yes. Yeah. Short form, yes.
The number of things I've tried where you're trying to do something hybrid, the cursor for the shooting is either so twitchy you can't actually aim, or so slow by the time you shoot at it, it's gone.
Sure.
That's dead solid.
It's like trying to play the roller coaster at the Gold Saucer.
Right.
Sometimes.
Yeah, originally we had physical. So the way that our shooting works is that whenever your mouse is over an enemy and you click, the bullet travels instantly to damage them, and that's called hitscape. Our game used to be you would shoot a literal projectile bullet and you'd watch it through the air, but you know, we quickly noticed that it's hard enough to shoot moving enemies when you're stationary.
Yeah.
But when both you and the enemies are moving, it quickly becomes, you know, a game of who's leading who. So we moved over to hitscan, and it became much more responsive and fun for the player.
Awesome. Yeah.
There's a lot of smaller enemies.
Yeah.
I do like that the missile is still, you have to, when you're moving, you still have to aim a little bit to make sure you shoot it right.
Sure.
Which is fun, because you don't want the big missile to just go hit it.
Yeah, but you don't feel like you're fighting.
I like the little bit of travel time, so you still have to think about if you're using the big
missile. Right.
Or you're trying to aim at where you're moving.
Mm-hmm. Are there any other games you're working on? Like, this will maybe further along down the road, but, you know.
So right now our team is only focusing on, you know, finishing Tumbleweed Express. Everyone on the team has been, you know, has worked on their own projects. In 2013, we were at Global Game Jam at George Mason University, and we quickly made a fun little mobile game called RoboArt, which is on the iStore, I think. But like I said, we don't have anything currently planned for the future. We mostly just want to get Tumbleweed Express done and out the door.
As it should be, damn it.
Sure. Well, sometimes you have things, you know, brewing. You got
I have a whole shelf full of game, you know, game ideas I want to get to in my life.
It sounds like you're, when you get together, did I hear you, like, how many hours? 48 hours?
Yeah, 48 hours.
It sounds like, I mean, sometimes you might work on something else, like, oh, we've got to work on it. So, you know, just almost like a distraction in a good way, you know, where you're letting that idea rest and now you're working on this, you know. That sometimes happens.
Like we should know with the show.
Yeah. We should let it rest.
Yes. In a box in the ground.
Oh, I love this podcast.
Anyway, what's your website?
We're at dorijaballers.com, and that's where you can find our videos and our content. Our web demo is available there for free as well for anyone who wants to play it. It also has links to our Kickstarter and our Greenlight campaigns.
What's behind the name?
Hmm? Dorijaballers?
Dorijaballers.
Yeah, so in our first game jam, our two main enemies that we still have in the game were drill cars and dirigible airships. And we were thinking, oh, what's the boss of the game? Oh, he's the dirigiboss. What do we call ourselves? Oh, we're the dirigiballers. And for a little while, it was a joke, but we just kept using it. And then, for better or worse, we hooked onto it. And now we are officially the dirigiballers for good.
Yeah, I like that name.
It sticks in your head.
Thank you.
But spelling it is a son of a gun.
Yes, we have. Unfortunately, we've noticed that when trying to redirect people.
At our YouTube video, by the way, spell it out, which is pretty freaking hilarious.
So what is your capability? You were going to get advice. What's one big lesson you've learned?
Playtest. You know, everyone's got ideas. And everyone's got the skill, if you're a developer, you've got the skill to implement them, but it's hard to know if something's really good or effective, like a good or effective piece of design or game mechanic until it's in your player's hands and you see how they play with it. When you're playtesting, the first thing that your player tries to do, and if it doesn't, you know, if that doesn't work, you should probably think about programming it to work.
Probably a good idea.
You write some code, you test it yourself and stuff, but having other people do it really draws stuff out fairly quickly because they'll approach it a little differently. You're so familiar with it, you sort of know what to do to make that thing work.
Yeah, it's like Ryan, the first thing you want to do when you're done is you want to have other people read it,
right?
Give you feedback. If you don't have the reading, if you don't have the play testing, you're not going to know if you're doing what people are going to play.
Yeah, it's got to stand on its own. You're not going to be able to... We love conventions, but obviously you can't stand behind your players in their own homes and coach them how to play your game.
Yeah, we've tried.
X1! Yeah.
True.
So what do you get out of developing games?
Me personally?
Yeah.
I mean, it's a great creative outlet. I'm a programmer and a designer, so I'm a problem solver. Mostly I love generating content and sharing it with other people. If I'm being perfectly honest, I'm a bit of a narcissist, so I love the attention. I love sharing it and talking and getting people's ear and telling them what I made and hearing their feedback on it.
What's your favorite game?
That's an impossible to answer question. The one that I play the most right now is League of Legends by Riot Games. It's one of my favorite games.
My kid will appreciate that. He's killing me.
That's just because you suck.
It may well be. Thank you, though. And thank you for coming on. By the way, I'll have links to the Greenlight. If you do not greenlight this, we are going to send Larry over to date your daughter.
No!
Yes, we're going to. Okay? That's it.
And if you can't get there, scorpions in your bed.
That's right.
Watch out.
Uh-huh. It's true. Thanks for watching. Bye.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Thank you.
This is Rob with Guys, Games, and Beer. And with me is
Travis.
And
Joey Larry.
And we are talking to
Chris Bryant
with True Fun Entertainment.
And we're going to be talking about Super Rad Radio.
Definitely the catchiest title I've heard on that, for sure. I'm already intrigued.
Ready? You like Game Boy games?
Yeah.
You like old school Game Boy games?
I'm a big fan of them. Pixels.
Oh yeah, we're gonna be talking pixels here.
Oh, more pixels.
Now, how did you come up? Obviously, you know, it's influenced by Game Boy games, but how did you come up with this idea?
So, go ahead.
Really, Larry?
Game. Cool. So, as a kid playing video games, all I wanted to do was to learn how to make my own video games. So, after years of going to school and programming professionally, I finally got to the point where I could make my own video games. But I wanted to make the kind of games that I wanted to make as a kid. So I wanted to make it as in-your-face retro as possible. And we were first starting, we first came up with the concept for Rad Radio. We thought it was going to be like an NES style, but I wanted it to be even more in-your-face retro. So I was like boiling it down to simplest terms, and the old school, big, fat, four-color Game Boy was like as retro as you can get. So, yeah, the game's four shades of green, very Mega Man inspired. So,
Larry has just gotten onto the Game Boy. A little behind.
This is going to spangle.
Well, this is brand new technology.
Brand new frontier.
Larry, it's all new.
Is it butt pixel graphics?
He's got card games.
It's been a long game, B-Fig.
Yes.
You guys are busy as heck.
I'm just glad to be sitting right now. Like, I've been standing all day and sightseeing yesterday, so I'm tired.
It's, yeah, you guys have been not. Have you even had, like, a moment of peace over there?
No, not at all. No, it's been,
kind of a good problem to have in this situation.
It is, yeah. Doing interviews and interviewing, just talking to folks, it's been great.
So is this a game exclusively for PC, or?
It's going to be on Xbox Live Arcade for 360, and it'll be on Steam for PC. So.
And, of course, it uses the 360 controller.
It does. Well, it uses, the PC keyboard, it'll work with all USB joysticks, so it works for all kinds of
input. So what's the hardest part about making a retro game? I mean, obviously you want it to be as retro as possible,
yeah.
But still I can tell by the play mechanics that it has some modernized play mechanics.
Right. Well, and what we did, there's actually an original Red Ray Gun on Xbox Live Indie Games, and we very much kept to the making it feel and play like a Game Boy game, so it is a little clunky. But with Super Rad, our publisher, Midnight City, said, we want Rad Ray Gun on steroids, so just go nuts, you know? So with the physics engine, we completely gutted it and started over, and we kind of took the liberties of making the game kind of play and feel like more of a modern game with the retro look, you know, look and feel.
Yeah, there's upgrades in this, right?
Yeah, definitely. There's a whole upgrade mechanic where you can buy power-ups for your guns and your armor, and you collect what we call bits, which are currency in the game, and you collect those throughout the game, and you can use that currency to buy the upgrade.
So, that's right, Larry, you get to collect stuff.
Yes, that's right.
Like, well, he's a tech hoarder and a digital hoarder.
So what is the high level? I got a chance to see the game, so what is it about?
It takes place in the 80s, and essentially you are a lab experiment gone wrong.
Okay.
So Dr. Yokoi, which Yoko Youngpi is the guy who invented the Game Boy.
Okay.
So you play as a lab experiment gone wrong. You're basically Dr. Yokoi's lab assistant, and the experiment goes wrong, and you become fused with the Game Boy. So you play as a half Game Boy, half man superhero, and you have to save the 80s from communist robots. Yeah, it does not take itself seriously. It's a very fun fourth wall breaking storyline. So
which part of the Game Boy?
I totally forgot about that until you mentioned it. Because I remember laughing as I was reading the storyline.
Yeah, you're a walking, talking Game Boy. So
nice.
Pretty awesome. So what do you think the hardest part of developing this has been?
Finding time is the biggest part, because I have a full-time job, wife and two kids, so every free moment of my time goes to Rad, and eventually you learn that the only thing you have left to give up is sleep, so that is the hardest part, is learning to operate on no sleep.
Yeah.
Yeah, I know about that one. Yeah, I know that. Yeah, this guy too. Knows a bit about it.
That's the biggest part, and also, you know, with I'm sure any game development, you add one feature and you break two others. So it's progressively moving forward and then making sure you didn't break other stuff in the process. And it's just, you know, a constant. We add something and then test everything and then fix all the bugs and then we can add another thing and just kind of going through the motions there. So
that is so easy to do. It's like, I didn't touch that code.
Exactly.
Why is that not working?
Exactly. I'm way over here. Why is this broken? Yeah.
But everybody points at you anyway, you know?
Yes, exactly.
Terrible, terrible. Sound as well. One thing I didn't get to do because we were on the floor and it's loud as hell in there
is
you hear the sound very well. So who'd you have do your sound? Did you do it yourself in-house?
No, we reached out. For the first Red Ray Gun, we reached out to there was a site called 8-Bit Collective where chiptune artists could all show off their stuff. And we went out and listened to several different artists, and we decided that Phantom McKay was our favorite. So we're like, let's reach out to him. There's no way in hell he's going to agree to it, but thankfully he did.
And he sure said, enough.
I would love to do the soundtrack for you guys. So he did, and he's done a new track for us in Super Rad, and then we've had Bubble Pipe Media help us out with more sound effects and soundtrack as well. So that's great.
You do the art too?
I do all the programming and the toolkit, mm-hmm. and then my buddy Chris Hernandez does all the artwork and all the design. So the two of us kind of attacking it from different angles, and we're just about there. So,
what's the tentative release date on it?
We're currently in alpha, and we're shooting to be in beta in about a month. So probably end of year, early next year, we'll be out on both.
Are you having a beta out on Steam?
No, we've kind of gone back and forth on that, mm-hmm. and
it's common now. That's why.
Yeah, exactly. And I think the early access model works more for multiplayer games to kind of get, you know, a subset of folks playing the game together to kind of work out the bugs of the multiplayer. But with this, I think we're going to wait until we're totally done with it and then get it out there.
So you get the full experience. Just
exactly.
Yeah. So that just sounds like, yeah.
Yeah, sometimes I find, too, that people get their hands on the main version and then they play it for a little bit. They don't like something about it and then they don't come back.
Exactly.
And Dan, really.
I'm recognizing this is a beta.
Yeah, exactly.
I have a 6-month window now that I do, and I'll come back in 6 months. And I have fun that there's some games that are like a completely different game 6 months later.
Exactly.
Yeah, if you do buy one of those betas, please try it again later, because it really is a beta. Sorry about that small rant.
No, I totally agree. That's kind of why we're shying away from open access right now, just because, you know, if I wake up tomorrow and have a great idea, I'm going to integrate it. And if you've already played open access and said, okay, I get it, I'm going to move on, then you're going to miss out on that awesome bit of content. So we want to make sure we're happy with all that we show it to the masses.
And where can they see Super Rad Raygun right now to check it out?
Yeah, go to radraygun.com, and we've got a trailer up there. And then look forward on Steam and Xbox Live Arcade.
We'll be looking.
Awesome.
All right, well, thank you very much for coming down.
Awesome. Thanks, guys. It's been great.
Bye.
Come visit us at www.guysgamesandbeer.net. Win free games on our Facebook page, www.facebook.com/guysgamesandbeer.